Well, far be it for me to presume that anyone here this morning is old. Stephen asked me, am I preaching this sermon from experience? And I said, more and more every day. It's good to see you today, this morning, and to have opportunity like this to turn our attention to God, to His Word, to consideration of our lives in light of His will for us. And I appreciate that you're here and invite you to get a Bible and join us as we begin this study in this class hour about how shall the old secure their hearts. Of course, we often sing the song, how shall the young secure their hearts, and appropriately so, but it's just as appropriate to ask, how shall the old secure their hearts? I recall as a I wasn't a man yet, teenager. Some of the best times that I remember growing up was with older people. I've always felt rather comfortable. My parents were older when they had my brother and me, and our grandmother lived with us and worked in a grocery store growing up as a teenager some, and there were older folks in the town that I got acquainted with, visited with, and just some fond memories of hearing their tales and seeking their advice and learning from them. And it occurs to me that there's a great resource at our disposal as young people of older people generally, and older Christians more specifically, and that if we don't take advantage of that resource, then we're less for it. And so at the very outset, I would encourage the younger ones among us this morning to see the advantages and blessings of the older Christians in your lives. And at the same time, encouraging older Christians to understand what a resource you are. And that really is part of this lesson. The main part of it is that you have not outlived your usefulness in the kingdom of God. Though older, in fact, you are uniquely positioned to be a great blessing to brethren and people in this world in general, and specifically brothers and sisters in Christ. And so it is entirely appropriate, I think, and beneficial that we ask this question, how shall the old secure their hearts? In Leviticus 19 and verse 32, the law of Moses said, you shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man, and fear your God. I am the Lord. Now, I am going to speak from experience for a minute, because the older I get, the more I'm aware and seem to pick up on the lack of respect that seems to pervade more and more our society. And unfortunately, the older generation sometimes is the recipient of that lack of respect. It ought not be so, and I know as Christians you know that. Now I am going to have to talk about Kendall, about respect a little bit. We were joking about that last night, I think. No, seriously, Christians understand the value of respect, but it's often forgotten in a lot of ways around us in this world. And Israel was taught, and I want you to see to show respect. And I want you to see a connection in that verse. He connects respecting the gray-headed with fearing God. That if we do not show due respect for the aged, we are not showing due reverence for our God. And that's a significant point as we begin our thinking this morning. In Psalm chapter 92, verses 12 through 15, a passage that speaks to the aged. It says in that passage, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Now, any of us who are getting older know that the body begins to get drier, right? I mean, that's just one of the realities of getting older. The skin gets more dry and so forth, and we get cracks and wrinkles. But look at the point, he says, though the outward man is getting dry, they are the righteous in old age are fresh and flourishing. They are full of oil. They are full of sap, like the sapling. Now, you see, he's driving now to the real person. This outer body, this shell outwardly, is not who we really are. Though the outward man is decaying, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And so though we have a light affliction in this world, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, he says, our light affliction is but for a moment. It's working for us an eternal weight of glory, that we understand that we ought not lose heart. And so the older ones among us this morning, do not lose heart. Do not be discouraged, even when the body begins to fail. And you see, that is a real source of temptation to become discouraged. But instead, he says, be renewed, be refreshed, be as the sapling with strength, because you see, the inward person, the person of faith, being renewed day by day, we have an eternal weight of glory where we will never grow old, as we've already prayed of this morning. And so, let's think for just a moment about the times of old age with this from this framework. Obviously, it's a time of increasing physical weakness, illness, because we're all moving toward death. We're all living to die. And as young people, that seems a far way off, but it's not always so. But as we grow older, we understand that really we are moving, just marching toward the time when we will be no more here. Moses in the Psalm 90th Psalm talked about the length of life. We're familiar with the statement there that our life is 80. Let's see. Let me get over there. Psalm 90 and verse 10 says, the days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength, 80 years. Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. It is soon cut off, and we fly away. Now, I know we have some in the audience today that have passed 80 and are up to 90. And that's wonderful. But you see, it goes by so fast. We're here really only just a moment. Life is brief, and as we age, we become weaker. The things that we once did with ease are now more difficult. I was talking with Nick, I think I said in passing this morning, I'm stiff. He said, you're young, you're loose as a goose, but you know, you wake up now and hey, it takes something to get up and get moving at times. Well, those are the realities of age, and the Bible speaks of it in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. There's a poetic description of us getting older and moving toward death, as he talks about our hands, our arms, our legs, our eyes, our mouth, our hearing, our speech, our gray hair, if you still have hair, and all of those things. He says, remember your Creator. Before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well, then the dust will return unto God who unto the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. If we only make life about the here and now and the flesh, then we're just trying to grasp the wind. It's all vanity. And so we must seek God, fear God, and keep His commandments. That's the whole of man. And by the way, Solomon says, start doing that when you're young, before the days grow old. You see, the years draw nigh. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come. And the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Set the pattern of life of faithfulness to God early and often and always, so that as the years go on, and you face that decline to death in the flesh, your inward man is being renewed and strengthened. Now, this doesn't need and should not be, and I already alluded to it, this must not be an overwhelming discouragement. We know where we're headed. We know this world is not our home. And so for the righteous, recognizing the reality of old ages, but recognizing another part of our passage from here into eternity. That's what we keep before us in such times. It is a time of increasing solitude. There's no question about it. As we get older, then we must face some of the particular trials that come with age, like being at times feeling alone in this world, finding yourself sort of a stranger where once you were familiar. I think it was Jim, I'm not sure, the other night was taking me around the loop, and he said, you know, years ago when they built this mall out here, everybody wondered, why is it so far out in the cotton field? But now what used to be a cotton field is full of development. Cotton fields change. You know, things progress one way or the other. This world doesn't stay the same. And age itself shows us that reality. Our contemporaries precede us in death. Perhaps a husband. Perhaps a wife. A close friend. Those we cherish. Loved ones. And so there is the real temptation of loneliness and isolation and even depression to be fought as age comes and its associated solitude. But the point for us as Christians to remember is the Lord said, I will not fail you, I will not forsake you, that regardless of our age, as we live by faith and rely upon the Lord, He has promised His presence, He has promised His care and keeping. This is a place where younger Christians can help. Younger brethren can be sensitive to the particular trials of the aged, including facing the solitude, facing being alone after you've been with someone 50, 60 years of your life, and readjusting to that reality. That's not easy. That's a real test of faith, and just as surely as it's a test of faith for young folks, for young couples entering marriage and having children, raising children, and the older Christians need to be sensitive to that and recognize that and encourage and help in that, and we'll talk about that a little bit in a moment. So it is that as younger Christians, we can be a great source of encouragement, stability, and inclusion for our brethren who are older in years. That's how we work together in the body of Christ to help all of us in our service to the Lord. Well, also, of course, we know that growing older really is a solemn time. It's a reflective time. It's not uncommon that as we get older, we think about the experiences of earlier years and reflect upon that and tell those stories, and those are good times, good opportunities to pass along insight and understanding in a lot of different ways. Of course, the solemnity of old age is that we are on the threshold of death. We're at the edge of eternity. If God has blessed us with 70 years or even 80 years and beyond, we know that, you know, we reach a certain point in our life where we know we've lived more than we're going to live, as all things go without some tragic event in our lives. We reach that point. You reach 40, 45, you know, that's, you know you've lived more than you're going to live. You know, the point on that, I think that can help us is, you know, with age ought to come some wisdom, some insight, a benefit to those around us. Look at Proverbs 16:31. It's not enough, I'll say, it's not enough to just grow old. The blessing is not simply in being older. The blessing is to be found when in age we are righteous. Proverbs 16:31 says, The silver-haired head is a crown of glory if it is found in the way of righteousness. Now, he says there is beauty, there is glory in the aged one who is found in the way of righteousness. But you take that aged person who is reaching now near the conclusion of life with bitterness and resentment and regret, there's nothing beautiful about that. That's not the source of godliness and wisdom that we would turn to. That's not beautiful. So it's not just enough to say, well, I'm 80, I'm 85, I'm 95. Not just enough to be older, but do we bring with that age righteousness? And that's the encouragement to every one of us, young or old, that we be sure that we are bringing with our age the righteousness that brings the beauty that God sees and that becomes a benefit and blessing to all who our lives touch. I want to turn your attention for the remainder of our study to Psalm 71. The 71st Psalm is a prayer of an aged man, one who now in his later years remembers God and the things of youth and also is facing trials in the present. But he also sees things that are yet at his disposal to do and be done until he while he still has life. Let's just spend a moment and read through the text. We have, I think, enough time to do that. Set it before us, and you can come back to it later. But we're gonna try to extract some lessons out of this, particularly to show how the old secure their hearts. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be my strong refuge to which I may resort continually. You have given the commandment to save me. You are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust for my youth. By you I have been upheld from birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be continually of you. I have become as a wonder to many, but you are my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. For my enemies speak against me. And those who lie in wait for my life take counsel together, saying, God has forsaken him. Pursue and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, do not be far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. Let them be confounded and consumed who are adversaries of my life. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor who seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and praise you yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day. For I do not know their limits. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your name to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. Also, your righteousness, O God, is very high. You who have done great things. O God, who is like you? You who have shown me great and severe troubles shall revive me again and bring me up again from the depths of the earth. You shall increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. Also, with the lute I will praise you and your faithfulness, O my God. To you I will sing with the harp, O Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing to you, and my soul, which you have redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of your righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought to shame, who seek my hurt. The psalmist, in his prayer to God, sees himself as a person who would do and continue to do what he could as he relied upon the Lord in his life. He would pray for God's help. As I said, this is a prayer as he petitions God for deliverance and for security. Surely one way that the old secure their hearts is remembering the value, the blessing, the benefits of prayer. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 and following, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice. Let your gentleness be made known to all men, and the Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. It's application for the older Christian. Rather than being anxious, rather than being distracted in your old age by the infirmities of the flesh, by the solitude, by the realities of the shortness of life, instead of those anxieties, he says, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Prayer is a powerful tool for the aged. He said, this psalmist and this man in the psalm would always pray for God's help. He pleads, don't cast me off in the time of my old age. Hear me. Respond to my plea as you have always done. He's convinced that God would continue to do that. One way that you secure your heart is never to forget prayer, but to draw closer and closer to God through it as a great blessing He's given you, whether young or old. Secondly, the psalmist would trust the Lord. Here's the matter of faith. You secure your heart, again, whether young or old, through faith. Through trusting God and following His will. And that is the emphasis throughout, that he would completely put his trust in God. God is seen here as his rock, as his fortress, as his refuge. And repeatedly in the first few verses of the psalm, he says, I put my trust in you, the very beginning of the psalm. You see it again in verse 5 and continuing in through the next few verses and indeed throughout it. Trust God. You know that that the experiences of life have brought you to where you are. You know that you have been obedient to the Lord. You have obeyed His gospel, but you're a child of God. You're called upon to continue to be faithful to Him. That's how you secure your heart. Look at Psalm 9, verses 9 and 10. Psalm 9, 9 and 10. The Lord will also be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in time of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. God does not forsake you. Now, the psalmist, the old man here in Psalm 71, you see, he faced what I think old folks have to face generally, and that is there's some unscrupulous people in this world who try to take advantage of the aged. Phone calls, you know, try to scare them into buying this or doing that, or, you know, to put fear into the heart of the aged. That's unscrupulous, that's sinful, that's wrong. But you see, it's even, first of all, you recognize that happens. There are such people. The psalmist did. He said, my enemies speak against me, verse 10. They're trying to take advantage of me. They're saying God's forsaken him. Rather than buy the devil's lie in age that God has forgotten you, believe the truth that God will never forsake you. God still remembers you. God hears your prayer. God is the one in whom you put your confidence and trust, and so remain faithful to Him, even when there are, sadly, people who take advantage of the aged. Be aware of that. Be wise. Trust the Lord. Psalm 37:25, David said, I've been young and am now old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. The righteous, again, bringing righteousness with us into our age. Brings us, keeps us in the position of God's blessings, God's confidence. God will perform His word toward His people. Look at Isaiah 46, verses 3 and 4. Isaiah 46, 3. God uses this terminology of age with Israel. He says, "Listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been upheld by me from birth, who have been carried from the womb, even to your old age, I am He, and even to gray hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you." And so God reminds Israel that I have borne you up from youth to old age throughout your existence. And even so, as we grow older, we must remember that God has always kept His word to us. He has always seen us through the most trying, difficult, heart-rending times of our lives, and that He will continue to be our rock, our fortress, our refuge, that we will not put our trust in man, but we will keep our trust in God. That's how you secure your heart, is don't forget faith. Faith is not merely for the young, it is for all of us, regardless of our age. Put our trust in Him. The aged man in Psalm 71 understood that, and he said, "I will continue to rely on You, my God." Thirdly, he would hope in God continually. As he trusts God, he knew that his hope was anchored in God. In verse 5, "You are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth." And again in verse 14, "I will hope continually and will praise You yet more and more." We understand that hope is not just desiring something, it's expecting something. It's desire with expectation. And it is that hope that becomes the anchor of our soul in youth and in age. Hebrews 6, verses 18 and 19 speaks of the hope we have, which is an anchor of the soul. It reaches beyond, within the veil, behind the veil, into the very presence of God. Your hope as an aged Christian secures you, anchors you in the face of the particular and specific trials that you face as an older Christian, that the other older people in this world don't have. They don't have that hope. Now, they need it, and they can still learn it and receive it. You see, it is the hope of the Christian that sustains us, even through old age. Psalm 33, verses 18 through 22. "Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our hope and our shield. Our heart shall rejoice in Him because we trusted in His holy name. Let Your mercy, O Lord, be upon us just as we hope in You." Hope is the mainspring of life. It is the incentive that keeps the old person vital and vigorous and energetic, fruitful. As the sapling, as we read in Psalm 92. You see, a living hope that we have in Christ Jesus keeps us strong in faith, keeps us confident to press forward. As older Christians, we're not to just live a life that looks backward, but we are also to be among those who are pressing forward, forgetting the things that are behind, not relying upon that, putting those aside and pressing onward. We press on to the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Our hope enables that. Our confident assurance of an expectation of eternal life is at the heart of that. And so the psalmist says, "I will wait on the Lord." You see, hope, the hope that we have in Christ is then produces patience. It enables patient waiting. You, in verses 19 through 21, the psalmist understands, I've gone through severe trials, troubles, but you'll revive me again. You'll hold me up. You'll bring me up and comfort me. Those are the anticipations of hope that the Christian, the aged Christian has and is assured in. God, you see the older Christian, you've seen God's power at work. You've seen God's mercy. We have a Brother Ralph Myers back home. About a year ago, now just a little over a year ago, was restored to the Lord after being fallen away from the Lord for 50 years. He came back to the Lord when he at 75 years of age. He's going to give his first Wednesday night invitation in about a month, or at the end of this month. You see, while there's life, there's still mercy of God that's available. God's power still works. Don't let your age be a cause to diminish the expectations that you have in Christ, but let them grow stronger and stronger as you remain active in your own faith, waiting on the Lord, knowing that He will accomplish His purposes. I'm reminded of Simeon very quickly in Luke 2, 25 through 32. God had assured him that he would not see death until he saw the Lord's Christ, and he was waiting for the hope or the consolation of Israel. That's what we as Christians do now as we anticipate the eventual return of our Lord. We desire it earnestly as we live righteously. 2 Peter 3, verses 12 and 13, anticipating a new heavens and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Old age is not the time to become bitter, cynical. It's the time for the renewal and revigoration of hope. And that sustains us through the later years of our lives. How shall the old secure their hearts? Well, the man in Psalm 71 would speak of God's righteousness. He would tell others. He would speak of God's uprightness. At least five times in this psalm, he mentions the righteousness of God. It is a thread that runs through the psalm. He sees that God is upright in word and deed and all that he does, all that he is. He is the one who in his righteousness sets this man up to be blessed in life and even into death. And so he says, my mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day. You have 60, 70, 80 years under your belt. Who's better equipped to speak of God's righteousness than you? To teach the will of God to others than you? Coupled with a knowledge of the Word of God, you become an effective teacher because of your age. Age ought to teach wisdom, right? Job 32 and verse 7, Elihu recognized that with age, it ought to speak wisdom. It doesn't always, right? But it ought to. And so Moses said, teach us to number our days that we may get us a heart of wisdom. So as we grow older, let us be adding a knowledge of truth to our age, to our experiences. That will equate into wisdom, and that will position us to speak to others. Remember Psalm 16:31. If we don't, then again our life is meaningless. Ecclesiastes 6:3-4. Recall Anna very quickly with you. Luke 2. This great widow, this great woman of faith, who had been married 7 years, and the text says she was now a widow well into the 80th or into the 8th decade of her life. Get there in Luke 2 and 37. This woman was a widow of about 84 years. So she's been for 75 of those years she was without a husband up as she became married 7 years and then lived the rest of her years to 84 without a husband. She did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And came into the... look at 38. Coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all of those who looked for redemption in Israel. She was teaching others, even as she was past 80 years of age. You say, well, I can't do that. It's impossible to do that at 80. No, you know, I know of a Christian woman now who's over 100 who distributes the bulletins that some of our members send her over in Tennessee. She distributes to people in the assisted care facility in which she lives. She's still talking to people and helping teach people. Yes, you can. You can be speaking of God's righteousness. That's how you secure your heart. We don't reach an age where we say, I've done my duty, now it's somebody else's turn. We don't reach an age where we say, well, now it's time for the young people to teach the classes and sit down and not teach. Teach a Bible class if you're able to do that. Use the opportunities. Pass out a tract. Speak to a neighbor. Speak of God's righteousness. That's how the aged secure their heart. Be active in the kingdom. Tell the next generation of God's work. Of God's works. Psalm 71, verses 17 and 18. The psalmist said that's what he would do as well. As he's speaking of God's righteousness, he said, Oh God, you've taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also, when I'm old and gray-headed, Oh God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. He said, I'm going to teach the next generation about you. Leave a spiritual legacy for your children and your grandchildren for the next generation. Psalm 78, 1 through 7. That was God's expectation of his people, and it continues to be God's expectation. Use your influence, aged Christian, to teach your children, to help teach your grandchildren to obey Jesus. Tell them of God's works, of what he has done, of his mighty power to save, to sustain, and to take us home to eternity. That's how you secure your heart. You continue to be active as you have time and opportunity on this earth. Your influence means something. Your influence is impactful upon a younger generation. Now, I cannot overstate that. I started introducing this lesson by saying, I remember as a child, don't we all remember as a child the impact of older people in our life? I mean, everybody was older than us. Our parents, our grandparents, maybe even great-grandparents. You have an influence. You have an influence. Use it. That's how you secure your heart. And praise God always. The psalmist said he would do that. He would worship God for his power, for his salvation, for the redemption that he has, for the righteousness of God. He mentions that throughout this text. And surely that's a statement that whether we are old or we are young, let them praises give Jehovah. Psalm 148, 12 and 13. Anna did not depart from the temple, from fasting and praying. She was continually serving God. What a encouragement it is. What a joy it is to see aged Christians assembling to worship God. To see the Christian of 70, 80, 90 years present to serve God, to honor God, to hear His Word, to pray to Him, to worship Him, stirring us up to love and good works. Your presence in assembly and in classes is a tremendous testimony of the power of faith and of the blessings of God. That's how you secure your faith and how you help secure the faith of others in your life. Let's close by making this simple point. aged Christian, you have a place in God's service. You have a place in the kingdom. Ephesians 4 and verse 16 says that from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Every member, every part of the body has something to contribute to the strengthening of the body itself. You have your place in the kingdom. Titus 2, verses 2 through 4, Paul, now aged, Paul the aged, as he spoke of himself to Philemon, Paul writes Titus. Titus 2 and 2 says, to the older men, as you speak sound doctrine, to the older men, teach them to be sober, that is to be vigilant, to be reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love and in patience. Older men, God speaks to you. God has expectations that He places upon you. You know, being older does not mean that we just have the right to say whatever we want to say, however we want to say it, whenever we want to say it. That's worldly wisdom. No. Be sober-minded. Be reverent. Be temperate. Be sound in the faith. Patient and loving. Older women, teach them likewise that they be reverent in behavior, God-fearing, not slanderers. Age doesn't give you the right, older woman, to talk about other people, to be a gossip or a backbiter. You don't have that right. That's not how you secure your heart, is it? Not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Admonish the young women. Exercise the self-control and discipline that comes with age and faith and reliance upon God. Let's close by going back to Psalm 92. Paraphrasing a portion of that, it says, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. To declare that the Lord is upright, He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. Aged Christian, you still have fruit to bear. And in your life and by your life, you become a powerful influence for what is good and right, for the will of God, so that the next generation can see His presence, His power, His blessings in your life and commit themselves also to the things of God. May God bless you in youth, and may God bless you in old age to be flourishing in everything that is good and right in His sight. Thank you very much for your study with me this morning.